That's it. $67 for 2 weeks of food that lasts up to 25 years. Call now, 888-524-6540, or use the special website, preparewithwayne.com. Preparewithwayne.com. Do it today and prepare so you can feed your family when a crisis strikes. 888-524-6540. 888-524-6540 or preparewithwayne.com.
Breaking news out of the U.S. Supreme Court. Justices have just dealt a blow to administration policy as they invalidate a provision of federal law requiring the mandatory deportation of immigrants who've been convicted of certain crimes. The majority of justices in the 5-4 ruling claiming the law is unconstitutionally vague. The newest justice, Neil Gorsuch, appointed by President Trump, joined with the more liberal members for the first time since joining the court to become part of that majority. Fox News host Sean Hannity commenting on a revelation that he is one of the three clients of President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen. Hannity saying yesterday he doesn't understand why that news is such a big deal.
I've known Michael a long, long time. Michael never represented me in any matter. I never retained him in the traditional sense as retaining a lawyer.
We'll give you the news online as well at usaradio.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Firefighters still working to contain wildfires in western Oklahoma that started late last week, scorching hundreds of thousands of acres. Two people have been killed, over 30 homes destroyed. The U.S. State Department has now sent a message to the government in Ankara, Turkey, regarding an American pastor, Andrew Brunson, who's on trial there. John Clemens has details.
The statement reads, "We have seen no credible evidence that Mr. Brunson is guilty of a crime and are convinced that he is innocent." The pastor from North Carolina is facing a 35-year prison sentence in Turkey for spying and for being a terrorist. Pastor Brunson's case brought this response from Chairman Dr. Danielle Mark of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom.
"We know that if the situation doesn't improve and this trial doesn't start heading in the right direction, it's quite likely that stronger action yet is going to come out of Washington."
I'm John Clemens.
Actor Harry Anderson has died. The 65-year-old found dead in his home in Asheville, North Carolina, yesterday morning. Best known for playing Judge Harry T. Stone in the 80s sitcom Night Court.
"Well, I'm going to find the defendant guilty of assault and battery, and Mr. Gunther, I am going to give you 2 days in the slammer, because you've got to learn that this is not funny, no matter what you think of the man's musical talent."
Authorities say that no cause of death has been released, but foul play is not suspected. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! Today we're going to talk about our nation's horrible rules of engagement. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Well, I'd like to welcome the newest members of the Frontlines of Freedom family, joining us today via KNSI Radio in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Welcome aboard. And just a heads up, get ready for the Colonel's workout instructions throughout the show. If you follow them, this is the one show that is guaranteed to get you in better warfighting shape.
Hoo-ah! That's cool, Josh. Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking strong in military. We'll hear from him during the Armed America Report. And Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby here looks like a happy guy. What's up, Chief?
I'm never happy, Colonel.
You're always happy.
I'm just professional, you know, standing at attention at all times.
But I'm a colonel and you're a warrant officer, and I said you're happy.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
See? It does work. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the situation in Syria today. John Maher is a retired Army lawyer, now defending wrongfully imprisoned soldiers. Today we'll discuss the case of Army First Sergeant John Hatley and the upcoming event in Washington, D.C. this coming Tuesday, focusing on a pardon for Clint Lawrence. Then we're going to talk with Mary Reed about Blue Star Mothers. Next, Jeremy Stalnecker will share about the great things the Mighty Oaks Foundation does for veterans. And then we'll discuss games to grunts. You won't want to miss this interview.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. We'd appreciate it if you'd also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And, of course, join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to the show. Do send us your ideas and comments, either through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
Recently activated National Guard members have started arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border, with more expected as federal government officials continue to discuss what they'll do about illegal immigration. The president said he wants to send 2,000 to 4,000 National Guard members to the border, issuing a proclamation citing the lawlessness that continues at our southern border. In response, the Republican governors of Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico have committed 1,600 Guard members to the border, giving President Trump many of the troops he requested to fight what he's called a crisis of migrant crossings and crime. California was the last border state to respond when, on Wednesday, Governor Jerry Brown issued a letter to the heads of the DOD and DHS saying, quote, "The California National Guard will accept federal funding to add approximately 400 Guard members statewide to supplement the staffing of its ongoing program to combat transnational crime. This program is currently staffed by 250 personnel statewide, including 55 at the California border." End quote. None of the new California troops are expected to assist at the southern border. Under the federal law Trump invoked in his proclamation calling for National Guard troops, governors who send troops retain command and control over their state's Guard members, and the U.S. government picks up the cost. Trump administration officials have said that the rising numbers of people being caught at the southern border, while in line with seasonal trends in recent years, requires an immediate response. Apprehensions are still well below their historical trends during the terms of former Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama, both of whom also deployed the Guard to the border. In Mexico City, a caravan of Central American migrants that had been heading north stopped in the Mexican capital. The caravan had sparked furious criticism from Trump, followed days later by his National Guard border protection deployment plan. On Monday, large groups of migrants from that caravan began crossing the border into the U.S. In the Yuma sector, a group of 61 migrants were apprehended when it was discovered that one of the migrants posing as an unaccompanied minor was actually an 18-year-old MS-13 gang member. In making his request for additional troops, the president said, quote, "I don't think this is a partisan issue or an identity issue. You show me somebody who is for drug cartels or human trafficking or this ammunition that's coming over a wide open and unprotected border here," end quote. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said he would add 300 troops a week until the total number reaches at least 1,000 troops. Some Guard members will be armed if they are placed in potential danger, Abbott said, adding that he wanted to downplay speculation that our National Guard is showing up with military bayonets, ready to take on anybody that's coming across the border, because that is not their role.
It's a very good idea to deploy our National Guard to the border. We are a nation of law. That includes law involving immigration, drugs, and prostitution, for example. We do need to get our borders under control.
The acting VA secretary supports a package of VA reforms Congress failed to pass last month and urged lawmakers to try again. Robert Wilkie wrote in a statement that the VA and Congress need to come together to overhaul the VA Choice Program, which veterans use to receive private sector medical care. Lawmakers and large veterans organizations agree the program is complex and difficult for veterans to use, and they've been working for more than a year to garner support to pass large-scale reforms. The Choice Program was created in response to the VA wait time scandal, uncovered in Phoenix 4 years ago. Wilkie wrote to Congress, quote, "It's time to fix the Choice Program, as well as the department's other non-VA care efforts, once and for all, by merging them into a single, streamlined community care program that's easy to use for veterans and VA employees," end quote. Wilkie told members of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees that he supported a package of reforms they failed to attach to Congress's massive spending bill in March. The package was a deal between Congressman Phil Rowe, the chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, a Republican from Tennessee, and Senators Johnny Isaacson, Republican from Georgia, and John Tester, a Democrat from Montana, who lead the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. In addition to overhauling the Choice Program, the reforms included an expansion of benefits for veteran caregivers, as well as a plan to initiate a systematic review of VA infrastructure, along with the intention of disposing of aging and underused facilities nationwide.
All I can say about this is, yes, go for it. This needs to get done, and soon.
The Army's Vice Chief of Staff praised the achievements of female soldiers, describing how small numbers of women continue to join infantry and armored combat units and graduate from the service's most grueling training course. General James McConville told an audience at the Future of War 2018 conference, sponsored by New America and Arizona State University, quote, 10 women have graduated from Ranger School, which is our toughest school. We have a woman commanding a company in the 82nd Airborne Division, an infantry company," end quote. The general's count did not include two women who graduated from Ranger School just before he spoke, bringing the actual total to 12. It's been 5 years since former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta lifted a ban on women serving in close combat roles. 3 years ago, the Army opened Ranger School to female applicants. Out of the 19 women who originally volunteered in April 2015, Captain Kristen Griest and First Lieutenant Shea Haver became the first women to earn the coveted Ranger tab. A third woman graduated later. Ranger School is a 62-day course described as the Army's premier infantry leadership course, an ordeal that pushes students to their physical and mental limits. On average, only about 40% of men successfully complete the course, and only about 25% of Ranger School students graduate without having to repeat at least one phase of the grueling course, according to Army officials.
If it's not obvious, there is a difference between men and women. Did you notice? It has to do with plumbing and bone density and muscle mass and more. And note that the Ranger course is 9 weeks long. There are 3 3-week phases. Each phase must be passed. The first two ladies who passed the course took 5 months to pass a 2-month course. The third one took 7 months. How many recycles is that? Is that a good use of training money? And then there's that little thing called sexual tension. Women don't belong in close combat units, the units that close face-to-face with the enemy, units like Rangers and infantry. We'll be sorry. By the way, I do salute the ladies who did graduate. There's nothing wrong with them. It's the Pentagon policy I oppose. And that's the news. Folks, you know I'm a decorated combat veteran. During my time in combat in Vietnam, I led and encouraged my troops to kill the enemy. That's why we were there. But over the last about 9 years, some of our troops have been jailed for doing that. That's why I'm proud to have United American Patriots as a show sponsor. We need to free those wrongfully jailed prisoners. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. Then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we're going to talk about wrongfully imprisoned First Sergeant Hatley. Eddie's troops, take a break. Spartan Nash is a proud sponsor of Frontlines of Freedom, and we'd like to thank all listeners for their support of and service to our country. Spartan Nash is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries and exchanges around the world.
At Spartan Nash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served at our more than 140 retail grocery stores and 2,100 independent locations throughout the country. Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correll with your home defense tip of the week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This report is brought to you by Esurance. A national survey of more than 1,000 U.S. drivers reveals a surprising disparity between attitudes and behavior when it comes to distracted driving. The survey was commissioned by Esurance to better understand why people get distracted when they're behind the wheel. One worrying finding is that more than 90% of those surveyed believe that texting while driving is not a good idea, but more than half of daily commuters continue to do it anyway. Stephanie Braun is the director of the Connected Car at Esurance.
Despite the fact that fatalities related to distracted driving are on the rise, the survey tells us that drivers are willing to take the risk and continue to give in to the lure of using technology while driving. We're seeing more automakers try to address the issue of distracted driving through semi-autonomous features, but nearly a third of drivers with in-car safety tech believe warning sounds and alerts can be distracting as well.
For more information, visit www.esurance.com. That's www.esurance.com.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are information and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors. Honor and remember, our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. President Trump had tentatively decided to withdraw the estimated 2,000 U.S. troops from Syria once the last remnants of ISIS have been eliminated. The earlier White House statement gave no timeline for a pullout, one that has been opposed by Defense Secretary Mattis. but said, "We will continue to consult with our allies and friends regarding future plans." Quote, "The military mission to eradicate ISIS in Syria is coming to a rapid end, with ISIS being almost completely destroyed," the statement said, adding that the U.S.-led coalition remains, quote, "committed to eliminating the small ISIS presence in Syria that our forces have not already eradicated." However, once the mission to destroy ISIS is complete, the U.S. can focus on the withdrawal, the statement said. In the absence of the U.S. military, quote, "we expect countries in the region and beyond, plus the U.N., to work towards peace and ensuring that ISIS never reemerges," it continued. Okay, the withdrawal of our forces after the defeat of ISIS would leave the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces to an uncertain fate. With the backing of U.S. air power and artillery, the mostly Kurdish defense forces has driven ISIS from most of their strongholds in Syria and last year claimed the so-called ISIS capital of Raqqa after a lengthy siege. However, the dominant force in the Syria's defense forces is a Kurdish militia that Turkey has labeled terrorist, and Turkey's attacking them even today. And then, earlier this month, there was another chemical attack by the Syrian government on the rebels. Remember that chemical weapons are weapons of mass destruction? So President Trump is focusing on this crisis in Syria. Well, the attack had killed at least 40 and sickened over 500. And remember, last April, Trump oversaw the launch of 59 Tomahawk land attack missiles from Navy-guided missile destroyers in response to a previous chemical attack in northern Syria, where at least 80 were killed. "We warned Russian forces to keep clear of the area before the missiles were launched." Trump blamed the newest attack, allegedly carried out with chlorine and possibly a nerve agent, on the Russian-backed regime of Syrian President al-Assad. He also charged that Russian President Putin and Iran shared responsibility. Since the attack, Trump has spoken with French President Emmanuel Macron to coordinate on potential military action. Both leaders said a firm response is under consideration. In an attempt to ward off U.S. action, Russian Foreign Minister said Moscow would submit a UN resolution calling for an investigation to determine if chemical agents were used in that attack. It appears that Trump will make the decision on whether to attack Syria amid continuing turmoil on his national security team. So here's the key issue. If we pull out of Syria, it's pretty clear that Russia and Iran will facilitate the return of ISIS. Why wouldn't they? And all this facilitates more intense attacks on our one real ally in the whole world, Israel. I am totally in favor of doing what is necessary to assist Israel in defending itself. On the other side of the coin, we should not commit our troops into a combat situation unless the object is to win, and to win means to kill the bad guys or get them to surrender. Being in an endless war with no idea of what we must do to win, or even what winning looks like, is horrible, and it's expensive in lives and dollars. Why would we send our troops into combat not to protect our nation, or even with any clear objectives? Okay, what does the chemical attack have to do with this? The use of a weapon of mass destruction is horrible, but are we the world's cop? Can't others, particularly those who live in the region, handle it? You know, for many years, as the world's sole superpower, we were the world's cop. However, the totally irrational foreign policy and total abuse of our military by the last administration has put us on our knees compared to previous years. Oh, yes, and the last president doubled our national debt. We just can't do everything. So should we send in more troops or missiles or something like we did a year ago? Well, and given that Russia has said they'll attack our launch sites if we do that, and there's the possibility that Israel's involved, I don't think our involvement will make any difference at all. So I don't think we should do more than work through the UN, which means doing nothing. Again, if protecting Israel, that changes my position. We have a horrible culture in our military right now, and, well, just maybe it's ending, where every time a soldier pulls a trigger in combat, there's a lawyer questioning him about why he did it, with a possible consequence of being imprisoned for making a mistake. This by itself is a disaster for our nation, as we'll be discussing in the next segment, another reason not to have endless wars. Anyway, my bottom line is that we bow out of the activities in Syria as far as our military presence goes. Further, we recognize that the Turks and Kurds hate each other, and nothing we can do will change that. Yes, Iran and Russia are our enemies, but we don't have to have our troops fighting in their backyards. And we certainly should beef up our military support for Israel. Defending an ally is an easily defendable goal. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom now with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, dude?
Colonel, as many as 45,000 households or beneficiaries could be disenrolled from TRICARE coverage because their payment information was not updated when the agency changed regional contractors earlier this year. The military groups that could be affected are retirees who use TRICARE Prime and do not pay their annual fees through paycheck allotment, and those who purchase TRICARE Reserve Select, Retired Reserve, and Young Adult plans. Other TRICARE users, including TRICARE for Life beneficiaries and active duty families, are not impacted. TRICARE had previously been managed by three contractors in three regions. But on January 1st, the system's South and North regions combined into TRICARE East. The contractors changed to HealthNet Federal Services in the West and Humana over the entire East region. As a result of the changes, those who purchased health plans and some TRICARE prime retirees in the former North and West regions were required to update their annual or monthly payment information or face disenrollment. Letters from HealthNet dated November 18th and from Humana dated November 28th told users that they had until December 20th or December 24th to submit their payment information to the new contractors. At about the same time, TRICARE announced that all enrollment updates had to be made by November 20th in preparation for an update blackout period, which was scheduled from December 1st through December 23rd. Now TRICARE officials are saying they are missing payment information for as many as 45,000 of those accounts across both regions. And because of the December enrollment blackout, some of those users may have actually updated their information when they were instructed, only to have it lost during the transition. It's a good idea for those who live in the former TRICARE North or West regions who pay their TRICARE enrollment fees or premiums through electronic funds transfer or via debit credit card to check their bank and credit card statement and make sure their TRICARE fees for January and February have actually been paid. If not, they need to contact their new regional contractor as soon as possible and provide the payment information. You see, if payment is not received before the last pay-through date, which in many cases was January 1st, coverage will be canceled within 150 days. That means thousands of TRICARE users will be dropped from the coverage books by the end of May. Officials with military support organizations that represent TRICARE users said the system needs to work to make sure no one is dropped in the wake of the January 1st changes. This includes purchase plan users and prime retirees. I think the Military Officers Association of America said it best. What they said was, quote, "We don't need to disenroll people from their earned benefits. We do need to do everything possible to bring people to change their payment options. But the last thing we need to be doing in the midst of all this is threatening them and disenrolling them from their care." So, if you're a military retiree or a Guard or Reserve member using TRICARE, I highly recommend you make sure everything is correct in your account before you take the chance of losing your health coverage. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. You're an amazing guy. I appreciate you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, Attorney John Maher will discuss the wrongful imprisonment of Army First Sergeant John Hatley. Then we're going to learn about some Blue Star mothers. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Let's do 25, then stand at ease. United American Patriots defends U.S. service members who are wrongfully accused of a crime in combat. This includes providing resources for legal representation during investigations, court-martials, the funding of experts, post-trial clemency and hearings, appeals, providing stipends during incarceration, funding family member travel, and facilitating reintegration into civilian society upon release from incarceration. Check unitedpatriots.org.
Can you remember the last time you had a great night's sleep? How you felt the next morning? More energized, more alive. Feel the difference of deeper sleep daily with the new Tomorrow mattress. Designed by the world's leading sleep experts at Serta Simmons Bedding and delivered right to your door. Use promo code HAPPY for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com promo code HAPPY.
USA Radio News.
White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow said today that the CBO has no idea how to measure the impact of the tax cuts and dismissed the CBO's prediction that the tax cuts would raise the debt by over $1 trillion in a decade.
Never believe the CBO. Very important. Never believe them. They're always wrong, especially with regard to tax cuts, which they never score properly because they don't understand the growth, the incentives, and the encouragements to reward success.
The war of words between California Governor Jerry Brown and President Donald Trump continues. Take a listen to what Brown said today.
It's time to just chill, recognize the fact that they're here. Now, if Trump wants to round them up, you know, like some totalitarian government and ship them out, say that.
Brown was speaking at the National Press Club. This is USA Radio News.
For some reason, being unpatriotic has become a trend as a way to protest perceived injustices in our country. But true patriots understand that America stands for liberty and justice for all. Standing for the flag and our national anthem is a sign of respect for the liberties and freedoms fought for by millions who made the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. If you stand for the flag and kneel before the cross, show your position through apparel and merchandise from the Patriot Depot. Patriot Depot has hats, shirts, mugs, books, and other articles that show our beliefs in the First and Second Amendments. Go to PatriotDepot.com now and enter code USA at checkout. Find novelties, bumper stickers, clothing, flags, books, and more. PatriotDepot.com merchandise allows true patriots to express their opinions. Check it out right now. PatriotDepot.com. PatriotDepot.com and enter code USA at checkout.
Groups, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, do please send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show retired Army Lieutenant Colonel John Maher. John was a military lawyer, or a JAG, when he was in the service. He's an attorney today. One of the things he does is he works on the appeals of wrongfully jailed combat veterans. He and I both work with United American Patriots. So welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom, John.
Thanks so much, Denny. It's wonderful to be here.
John, give us all a quick review of your service in Mother Army.
Mother Army, oh my gosh. I was commissioned in the Army JAG Corps in 1997, right directly from law school. And first duty station was 1st Infantry Division in Bamberg, Germany, where I was a prosecutor and a little bit of defense work. Deployed to the Balkans as part of a United Nations peacekeeping mission to prevent the spread of ethnic cleansing. And then wrapped up my initial active duty tour on September 6, 2001, walking out of the Pentagon. Of course, we were attacked a few days later, so I stayed reserve ever since. Since then, I've stayed in the Army JAG Corps Reserve and deployed a couple times to Afghanistan, to Kuwait, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and, of course, graduated from the Command and General Staff College as well as the Army War College. And presently, I'm the deputy commander of a legal operations detachment just outside Kansas City, Missouri, in the Reserve.
Okay. And other than that, he's also a defense attorney and works very much, as I said, with United American Patriots.
Yeah. Yes, sir. In that capacity, as you know, our mission is to provide defense to service members accused of crime in combat. And it's been my very good honor to serve in a civilian capacity to help out the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and no Coast Guardsmen yet, but in terms of defending their actions and ensuring that every constitutional protection that they deserve is applied to their case.
And for your information, folks, I'm sure there could not fail to be some combat troops who do wrong, bad, evil things intentionally. There have to be a few. Those are not the ones United American Patriots looks for. We look for the ones that, as near as we can tell, were doing their jobs and are being taken on by it.
Right.
All of them
right,
deserve defense, but United American Patriots gets involved with the ones that we are very, very confident were just doing their job. Is that a safe statement, John?
Yes, I agree 100% with you, Denny, that the UAP mission is one where we're not going to take on a case where it involves some sort of robbery, larceny, or destruction of property or things like that in an overseas combat environment. Instead, it normally arises in the context of rules of engagement, treatment of detainees, mistreatment of detainees, capture and release, those types of scenarios where we believe that we have the moral and the legal high ground to make the best arguments and to create the best position to ensure that these guys who, if they were operating in the United States, would never, ever be viewed as criminals or murderers or assaulters or batterers. Instead, they're in a complex, evolving, unforgiving, volatile, uncertain environment where the wrong decision or a delayed decision is unforgivable. And they're being held to a standard, an unprecedented standard of criminality in these operational environments and tactical environments that is having a counterproductive effect on leadership. And we're ending up imprisoning a very good number of a lot of our very good soldiers who don't belong in prison at all.
Well said. In my time in combat, folks, back in Vietnam, I never had to deal with that. I mean, I'm sure if I'd had somebody do something malicious, I would have, but I never, ever did. I never even heard of that happening.
Right. And I think that that has been an evolution or a devolution, depending upon which side of the aisle you come down on, where legal officers now have had commanders in all branches of the service abdicate a good portion of their command to their lawyers for the idea that we're going to criminalize operational and tactical law using the prism of domestic United States law enforcement, when instead these are paratroopers and Marines and infantrymen who have been trained to locate, close with, and destroy the enemy, rather than been trained to enforce laws and to discern good guy from bad guy in complex environments. There has to be a better standard, a more flexible standard, and a more understanding standard.
So there's two challenges here. One is to change the rules and the laws, but primarily our goal right now is dealing with those soldiers who have been caught in this environment. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the wrongful conviction and imprisonment of First Sergeant John Hatley with Attorney John Maher. John, let's talk about the good First Sergeant.
Happy to, Denny. It's my pleasure to speak on behalf of First Sergeant Hatley and his family today, and thank you so much for allowing us the time to do that. First Sergeant from Texas entered the Army at 21 years of age in 1989, made it his career, and he rocketed through the ranks all the way up to First Sergeant. Airborne, Air Assault, Ranger, had done a number of different assignments, EIB followed by CIB, and then from there he was entered into the Audie Murphy Society. Beyond that, he had several combat tours, as you could imagine, given all the wars that we've been involved in, both Iraq and Afghanistan. He was selected for promotion to Sergeant Major, but denied Pentagon so he could go back with his troopers out of the 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red 1, and take care of them on a mission in Iraq. Well, on one particular occasion in 2007, he was court-martialed by a general court-martial for one specification of murdering four unidentified local nationals, and the allegation was that they were shot in the back of the head and dumped into a canal. The challenge with that case is no bodies were ever recovered, and the families of the purported victims never claimed that they lost anybody. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're really talking about today is First Sergeant Hatley has been incarcerated now for 10 years. His initial sentence was life. The convening authority reduced that additional sentence down to 40 years. Subsequent favorable action was it knocked it down to 25 years. And just last August, First Sergeant came up for his first look at parole. Regrettably, that look was denied. But now the idea is to marshal public support and begin the national conversation to recognize that all of the sentencing philosophies that the American corrections provide have been satisfied in the case of First Sergeant Hatley. The idea being, what interest is really left? What legitimate interest do we have in his continued incarceration? And we believe that everything that law enforcement and corrections could possibly have wanted pursuant to the verdict and sentence has already been satisfied. And this man has a loving fiance and a loving family back home in Texas and a community waiting with open arms to embrace him and help him with the transition from combat to court-martial to prison to home. And we believe that the time is right and the time is now to do that.
Well, that certainly makes sense. And John, you're an attorney and you practice in civilian, not just in the military. Convicting somebody of murder when there's no bodies and nobody claimed to be missing anybody and apparently no witnesses, that doesn't sound to me like a legitimate charge or case.
Yes, Denny, it's counterintuitive, to put into a word.
Nice, good.
And candidly, you can have a murder conviction under American law in the absence of a body. And ordinarily, that's going to be where something like, we saw Mrs. Smith last year with Tony. We haven't seen her since. She was my wife. She was my mother. She was my aunt. So at least you have a victim in the absence of a body.
Yes.
Corpus delicti is the Latin for body of the crime. However, it is very difficult, and it stretches that definition of murder when you have neither bodies nor identities.
So nobody said my wife, mother, kid, father, grandfather was missing. So we don't know.
Sir.
So there's nobody claimed missing. Just somebody claimed that he either did or permitted or ordered somebody else to shoot people and throw them in a canal.
That's right. And beyond that, in addition to the absence of families alleging that they lost people, the alleged victims, the Criminal Investigation Division went to great lengths with scuba divers to drag the canal and came up with nothing.
And still, how many bodies were supposed to be in there?
There's supposed to be four. And the challenge is, right now, that was 11 years ago. And First Sergeant Hatley has been a model prisoner at the disciplinary barracks on Fort Leavenworth. And he's completed college. He's halfway through his master's degree. He's undertaken, he's been an informal leader where, you know, growing where he's planted. And when you think about why we incarcerate people, we want to punish offenders, protect society, deter offenders, deter anybody else, and rehabilitate inmates so they can be restored to a meaningful and rightful place in society, being productive. Well, each one of those is satisfied in First Sergeant's case. He's been punished, a decade in the penitentiary, and he got a dishonorable discharge, and he lost his retirement. Does he need to be deterred? No, he's never going to be standing in Iraq again. Does anyone else need to be deterred? That, too, has been satisfied. Do we really need to protect society from John Hatley? He's the kind of guy that we've asked to protect us, our society. And then finally, any rehabilitation, his record is incredible. As a matter of fact, the last recommendation that came out of the disciplinary barracks was that he be paroled, but higher army decided otherwise. And that was within their discretion to do it. But we do believe that right now, with some public awareness and a national conversation, it would be very helpful for Sergeant Hadley and his family that he be paroled immediately and allowed to go home and begin his life, or a chapter of it.
Indeed. And there's more to discuss about First Sergeant Hatley, and John is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. Hey, that's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Do you know about the Skyball? It's something the Air Power Foundation puts on to help them do wonderful things for our active military, Guard and Reserves, veterans, and their families, and especially for the families who have lost a parent in combat. How can you not love this outfit? Well, we'll be working with them to help them accomplish their mission. So stay tuned to Frontlines of Freedom over the next weeks. We'll be giving you more and more information about how you can be involved and help.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Attorney John Maher about the wrongful conviction and imprisonment of Army First Sergeant John Hatley. So even if he did commit these crimes, he clearly has been rehabilitated because he's a model citizen of the prison. And there's question that there even was a crime committed, much less that he did it. So we need to do something. John, what can we do? What can listeners do? What do we do with this?
One of the things that can be done, Denny, and thank you for that invitation, is to reach out to United American Patriots. United American Patriots is an organization, a nonprofit, that provides defense for personnel accused of crime and combat in which they have sponsored First Sergeant Hatley. One of the things that we're intending to do is to create a petition drive, the idea being to encourage the Secretary of Army and or the pardon attorney and or the president to commute John's sentence to let him go home. And that's one of the main ways they could do it. They could also reach out and visit the website, freejohnhatley.com, and that's being run by his family. And they could also reach out to Maher Legal Services via our website for any and all information. And the idea there is the fight in terms of court-martial and the appeal is in the rearview mirror. What has to happen now in the interest of justice is, do we really as a nation or an army have a legitimate interest in John's continued incarceration? And I think the answer is no. And here's why. All of the sentencing philosophies and corrections philosophies have been satisfied. And John is a good man, and he's got a parole plan. He's got a job offers. He has a beautiful home. He has a loving fiance. He has his family. His father's a minister. And his community in Texas is waiting for him in open arms.
Oh, that's pretty good. What more would you want if you were looking for somebody to go back into society? I mean, my goodness.
Yes, sir.
Maybe a guardian angel reporting for duty or something.
Right. And if you were to meet him in person, he's in excellent physical shape. I mean, still PTs as if he were a younger man and a disciplined guy. And he's a very self-aware, tactful gentleman.
John, all this happened, in my opinion, and I'm open to you giving me your thoughts on it, because something is wrong with our military command culture where a commander would let this go forward. I cannot imagine being a commander or working for a commander who would even remotely consider permitting this to happen, much less advocating it, and then with whatever rank, how many stars, not see this as a valid case to turn them loose. Is this something in the culture of American's Army today?
I think that there's 2 points I'd like to make in light of your comment, which is very well taken, Denny. Number one, I do think that some of the senior officers recognize some of the injustice and the counterproductiveness of the sentence. And that's why the life sentence by the initial convening authority was knocked down to 40 years. And then subsequently to 25, and now that John has done 10, he's in the window pursuant to regulation for parole. So on the one hand, I do think there was some meaningful and respectful senior leader involvement to mitigate the punishment. However, giving rise to the incident in the first place was the whole counterproductive idea of capturing detainees, and if you don't get them in within 96 hours, you're going to release them, even if they have HME on their hands, even if they have grenades and bandoliers of ammunition, or even if they had one AK in their home, which is authorized. But more than that, some of those counterproductive policies have resulted in commanders no longer really coveting and discharging the green tab. They've taken a piece of that green tab of command and handed it over to his or her attorney. And his or her attorney is often a junior person who's right out of law school with a couple, 2-3 years, and looks at these things through the prism of a law school examination, analyzing a first sergeant, 29-year veteran's ranger infantry career through the prism of, is he a police officer in Main Street, USA, when he's not, when he's a ranger in the hotbed of insurgent activity, where his unit received 2 casualties immediately prior to whatever happened out there that night.
Well, that is logical. I mean, you've been there. I haven't. But if I gave some thought to going to law school, and if I'd gone to law school once I got there, and if I got in the Army, I would want to be useful. I would want to use whatever insights and knowledge I had, recognizing that anybody new in a profession is immature, but I'd want to be doing my thing. So I don't think we're talking about evil people. I just think we're you suggested younger and less mature, but also not braked by the more mature commander. Is that what we're talking about?
I believe that's the case, Denny. I think you said it much better than I just did. And also, I'd add that I don't think these people mean any malice. at all when these charges. I think they truly believe they're doing the right thing. It's a matter of perhaps a lack of experience or maturity to widen the lens and broaden the points of reference that are brought to circumstances that are in combat where split-second decisions are made and if collateral damage is there. We used to have a doctrine called collateral damage, and we still use it when it comes to drone strikes and airstrikes with a more remote-type killing. But when you're asking our special operators and our Marines and our infantrymen, they'll get up close and personal, which is their job and their skill set. They're being held to an unprecedented level of criminality that, A, I believe jeopardizes the mission, and B, turns the military no longer having the code of military justice for purposes of good order and discipline, but evolving into this body of criminal law that was never intended in the first place.
John, I think you hit the nail on the head on that. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the wrongful conviction of combat soldiers with Attorney John Maher. John, this coming Tuesday, in Washington, D.C., there's going to be a large gathering of good citizens to help lobby Congress to encourage the presidential pardon, not just freedom, but pardon, of Lieutenant Clint Lawrence. We'll be there. Remind listeners of Clint's case. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. Clint Lawrence was a first lieutenant in the 82nd Airborne Division in Zaire District of Kandahar Province, Afghanistan, in July of 2012. He was on a second combat patrol, although he was an enlisted man. He was green to gold and commissioned. His previous platoon leader had been taken out pursuant to pepper and shrapnel wounds to the face, eyes, and abdomen. And while leading this patrol, which was a president's patrol, in single file route of march behind a minesweeper up and down 6 to 8 foot grape berms, Clint Lawrence was working his radios while a paratrooper in front of him, by the name of PFC Skelton, fired his rifle at a lone motorcycle where three military-age males were riding back-to-back at an excessive rate of speed towards the platoon's exposed route of march. PFC Skelton fired but missed. Lieutenant Lawrence, who was standing below the grape berm, got on the radio and gave the order to fire, and a gun truck issued fatal rounds, which took two of the riders out 5 to 10 to 15 seconds later. From that, the platoon continued to progress its march into town, into the village, killed two others and wounded a third, and then upon egress, they were coming back to post. They walked by the two deceased riders, and one of the paratroopers said, "Oh, my God, that's one of the town or village elders." Up went what's called the civilian casualty or CIVCAS balloon. From that point on, the government prosecuted and convicted Lieutenant Lawrence, who never fired his weapon, two specifications of murder and one specification of attempted murder for ordering the firing of the three riders. The idea being that there was no ROE compliance, plus he killed innocent civilians. We know subsequently on appeal that PFC Skelton and his rat shot and Lieutenant Lawrence's reliance on those shots were compliant with the ROE. And upon the appeal, we learned that the individuals who were shot had left their DNA and their fingerprints on bombs at grid coordinates where paratroopers had been killed previously. And that should have been admissible at the trial to rebut and negate the government's allegation that these were civilians when they were not. And that would have been a game changer, we believe, in terms of Clint Lawrence's trial. That's why we believe he's not only not guilty, we believe he's innocent.
And to say amen to that, John, it would be understating my passion. Folks, this Tuesday is a free Clint Lawrence Day in Washington. It's being hosted by Congressman Hunter from California. Just Google free Clint Lawrence. You'll get information on it. What I'd like you to do, my final request for you, is contact both your congressman and both your U.S. senators by email or text and ask them to appear to join us in Washington this Tuesday. Please do that. We really need to take care of this fine, innocent young man. John, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation and to these horribly abused combat veterans. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Denny. I appreciate you, sir.
Well, here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is where we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. One woman's life will forever be changed because of the quick thinking of a brave air commando. On the night of May 19, 2017, Louisiana resident Belinda DeVore suffered injuries from a two-story fall in a parking garage in Mississippi. Senior Airman Gregory Ward Jr., an Air Force Special Operations Command A6 Mission Operations Controller, said he reacted as soon as he witnessed the fall. "I saw Ms. DeVore fall through an opening in the center of the parking garage and land between parked vehicles," he said. "When she fell, I just abruptly reacted. I immediately ran through the parking garage to get to her level and location while searching for security, medical personnel, or any form of assistance." DeVore recounted the moments of that night. She said, "I was knocked unconscious upon impact, and Greg sprang into action to save my life. He ran down to me, flagged down security, dialed 911, and rode in the ambulance with me to the hospital. He stayed by my side as much as allowed at the local hospital as I drifted in and out of consciousness." In addition to notifying emergency responders of her situation, Ward assisted DeVore in contacting her family. When asked why he stayed with her, Ward simply commented that if the situation happened to any of his loved ones, he'd want somebody else to do the same thing. Quote, "Greg has been tremendously positive and supportive of me mentally and emotionally during this long period of recovery," said DeVore. "I'm thankful beyond words to say that I am now walking once again and expect to make a complete recovery. There is zero doubt in my mind to the fact that he saved my life." So stand tall, Airman Gregory Ward, Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots. Salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Mary Reed about Blue Star Mothers. Next, Jeremy Stalnecker will share about the great things the Mighty Oaks Foundation does for hurting veterans. Then we'll discuss games to grunts. You won't want to miss this one. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's spring. Go outside and run some wind sprints. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent HVAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How copy?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the 100in Medical Center. 100in Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100in Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100in Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.100inhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
A Southwest Airlines plane made an emergency landing at Philadelphia International Airport after an engine blew out shortly after the plane left LaGuardia Airport in New York today. The plane landed safely and taxied to a remote area off a runway where passengers were taken off. At least one person was taken to the hospital, but there's no word on the extent of that injury. California Governor Jerry Brown is once again lashing into President Trump over immigration. Take a listen.
A comprehensive immigration with all the other talk and noise about the border, the fact is America has 10 to 11 million people that are here. And they're human beings. They have families. It's very important that they be integrated in a humane, intelligent way. But instead, it's just an inflammatory football that very low-life politicians like to exploit.
This is USA Radio News.
Wayne Island Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you find a product and you go, wow, why didn't I think of that? Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a successful Made in the USA company that offers bullet-resistant products for your most precious asset, your children. Backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, briefcase, and more. Bullet Blocker gives your kids the gift of life. Stylish clothing that protects like police body armor. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WARN to save 10%. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got a MyPillow, and I go everywhere with mine. stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
Prosecutors in Bill Cosby's sexual assault retrial can read the comedian's prior testimony about giving quaaludes to women before sex to the jury, the judge ruled in the case today. Cosby's lawyers argued that the testimony is irrelevant to his retrial because there's no evidence that he gave the victim the drug. A group of children launched a lawsuit against the state of Florida. And USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
Well, they're not all little kids, as they range in age from 10 to 20, but they're suing the state of Florida, the governor, and the Public Service Commission, accusing those Florida leaders of turning a blind eye to climate change and, as a result, endangering their future. That lawsuit in Florida state court is part of a nationwide campaign by a group called Our Children's Trust. The kids claim in their suit that officials have a legal moral obligation to protect future generations from global warming, even if they refuse to call it by that name.
And the Dow Jones is up over 150 points today.